Now, in dealing with the area of self-image, in reclaiming the past through the renewing of your mind, let me review for the purpose of the tape here, is that we have to recognize who we believe ourselves to be. And if it's a point of unworthiness, then I put down, I believe myself to be an unworthy person. I go to the point of confirmation. Why do I believe that? And then I put down, I am a worthy person, and why am I a worthy person? You might want to review your notes on worthiness. But you get those verses of Scripture that you're unconditionally worthy. And then you put it down in that first column under recognition, and then you begin right where you are and begin to work backwards of where you are as you go. What happened this past week that made me feel unworthy? This past month, maybe this past year. And you work in 5-year segments if necessary. And you simply go through that prayer. Lord, I believe that I was unworthy, and this circumstance or event reinforced that. I choose to put that off and bring it under the blood. And I choose to believe that I am a worthy person. And what you are doing is negating that event or circumstance that reinforced this idea or belief of yours. That belief has been built up into a fortress. You put it up step by step, block by block, stone by stone. You're tearing it down step by step, block by block, stone by stone. And as you go back, the Holy Spirit will reveal it again to your mind and not to your emotions. You will not need to introspect, which I believe is wrong. Proverbs 20, verse 27, the spirit of a man is a lamp unto the Lord, searching out his innermost being. The Holy Spirit, using the recreated human spirit, will reveal to you those areas and events in your life that have reinforced this. And you'll go back and you'll begin to tear that down. And this will hasten the activity of the Holy Spirit because you're concentrating on it. Just in your devotional time. I put off this thing that reinforced that negative belief about myself. And I put on the truth, Lord. I put off that thing that reinforced the lie. I put on the truth. And this came about through an experience I had in my own life. When I went into counseling, I had a dread that somebody would go berserk and I'd not be able to handle it. And I dismissed that from my mind. Should have known what Job said is true, that which we dread the most will usually come to pass. And so we had an experience one time where that literally happened. And I panicked. But it was handled. But then the next day I felt very funny. Something was happening to me. And I started going downhill. I didn't experience it. It was an extremely painful thing. And it was about the third day I realized that, well, I'm having an acute anxiety reaction. I was withdrawing. My stomach was hurting. All the symptoms. And I should have known because I'd had many of them as a young person. And I thought, God, why? Why am I experiencing this? And for about a week, I rarely went through it, and then it went away. But about 2 weeks later, it started coming back, and it stayed. I said, God, this is not right. Here I am, a spirit-filled Christian, and I'm having these deep anxieties. Well, the Spirit of God knew that there was in me areas that He had to deal with that were hidden and covered over. And so as I prayed, I thought, well, God, what is it? Is there something in my past that is reinforcing this fear that it should just come out? And so it began to pinpoint fear. And so I started right where it was, and I went back, I put fear, and I said, yeah, I believe that a person, if they kind of went berserk, that would affect me, and this happened, Lord. And then I started putting off and putting on, following those scriptures. And the scriptures became alive as I found the various areas of putting off, putting on, and He had brought me to the dealing with a point of fear. And I began to go back, starting from the present, working backwards. And literally, over a period of time, because this thing was deeply entrenched, the things that the Spirit of God brought to my mind and not to my emotions were circumstances that happened. One time I was involved in a very near accident that would have been fatal. And I remember for 3 days after that, there was a hollowness in my life, a feeling that it was that deep. And the Spirit of God brought that to mind. There was another experience that he brought to mind. When I was a little lad, and there was a peeking Tom that would look in our window, and I remember how frightened my mother was. My dad bought her a gun because he worked at night. And one time she had the pistol, and she leaned up against the refrigerator and then sunk to her knees and crying. And my brother and I were trying to help her up, and I was 3 years old at the time. But I knew the fear. And so as I went back and dealt with this, at the same time, I got a call while I was going through this that my father had to go in for a critical operation. So I went back and I spent time with my mom and with my dad as he went through this, but I noticed that after the operation, as he was coming out, during the day he'd be fine, but toward evening, the sundown syndrome would set in, and that's, they call it the sundown syndrome. As sun goes down, certain people space out, and he would space out. And he'd become greatly fearful, great phobias. And as we talked about, my mom said, oh yeah, your dad has always had these deep phobias. His mother had died in a tragic accident, a stove blowing up, there in the home when he was 5 years old. He never had a mother, raised by two aunts, or two sisters. Tremendous insecurities all of his life. And somehow, through ancestral touch, I'd adopt a lot of those. Growing up, I was as fearful as any kid ever was. I remember lying awake till 2 and 3 in the morning, reliving my day to make sure I hadn't left something out. Being scared to death I might have left something out. You see, there was an area of fear, a basis of fear, and I had built that up into a fortress over the years. And it was robbing me, and God wanted to get it out. And so I went back, and as every time the Holy Spirit brought up a circumstance or an event that reinforced it, I would put it off, and I put on the promises of God. I am not a fearful person. I'm a child of the King. And it was exciting over a period of several months to see the anxieties ebb away and to gain a newfound, in a sense, courage, boldness, but peace that had not been there before. You see, I had it all along. It was part of my inner man, of that recreated human spirit, but externally, locked into my mind, over a period of years that had been built up, was the fortress of fear. And when I came into a circumstance, it allowed that fear to break loose, all of that past. It had been covered over. I didn't remember, but the trauma of the past was very much alive in the memory bank. And circumstances unlocked the memory bank and it rushed to the surface. And I'll tell you, for a period of 2 or 3 months, I was very ineffective until I conquered that. But there was total and absolute victory. And I became convinced that this, as I studied the Scripture, was the process of putting on, the imaging, the reclaiming of the past. And so I began to use it with people and began to work that we can reclaim our past, that can be put off, that what we thought of the past and that's reinforced over the years does not need to affect us today. And so you go over, minding that every time I began to feel the fear, I'd stop and say, Lord, I'm starting to introspect. I know you reveal it to the mind, not to the emotion. And then I'd come back to it. It was exciting to see what God did in my own life. But I had to concentrate on fear itself. There were other areas that he wanted to deal with in my life. And I would list those, but I dealt with one at a time. I didn't try to deal with all of them. And when I finished that, I went to another one. And I dealt with it. And I went to another, and I dealt with it. And even today, there are things coming up in my life that I'll go back and I'll begin to deal with in my life, just automatically, of putting off, putting on. You see, this is not a psychological therapy, but a command of the Word of God to be a part of our life. simply of putting off the old identity, putting on the new. Putting off those things of our past that hinder us from being all that we are or could be or should be as a Christian right now. And so what we found is in this one area, I am simply moving from what I believe myself to be or who I believe myself to be to the person that I know that I am. I know that I'm an attractive person. Well, within bounds, I'm not a Robert Redford. But he's not a Jim Craddock either. And so we can measure that off. I'm just me. And I'm the guy that had the trouble looking in the mirror for a long, long time. I know that I'm adequate. I have a deep sense of inadequacy. That's the second thing the Lord dealt with in my life. That deep sense of inadequacy. I'm an adequate person. Why? Because God has made me adequate. Faithful as He has called you, who will also do it. We can go on and on. You see, the process, basically through prayer, based upon the Word of God under the power of the Holy Spirit to change life. Only we're concentrating on it instead of just sort of letting it accidentally happen. And by the way, if you never deal with it, the Holy Spirit will still deal with it in your life. He still brings it to bear. This simply hastens the process. Bringing all the functions that God has given to us as far as our mental and spiritual under the authority and correlated with the power and person of the Holy Spirit to effectively bring about behavior change. And it works because God's Word works. And you can apply this to those great concepts, the erroneous God, the Father God concept, to your own self-image, to the laws, the same way. We have a system that we have tried to compensate for our poor self-image, those rules and regulations. You've got to die to those. You recognize those. Go through the same process. I am free. Don't fall into the trap of believing what you see or what you experience as the final authority of your life. Trust only the Word of God. As revealed by the Holy Spirit, who guides us in all truth as to who you are. Now then, let's stop here for a moment. Go over any questions that we might have and look maybe over some of the other materials that are in the process, by the way, of being totally redone. The question is it has to do with introspection here and the difference of it. Introspection is looking inwardly and coming up on the short end of the stick. A lot of times we look in and we look at the garbage rather than looking up. Now, what we're doing is in the spiritual sense of examining. And that is simply, instead of looking in and experiencing emotionally, we're looking inwardly and seeing who we really are. Whereas introspection, from the secular viewpoint, you look in and look at the garbage, you relive the experience emotionally, which does tend to help, but you have to relive the emotional trauma. Whereas spiritually, you're looking in and saying, this is who I really am in Christ. And so instead of looking at the garbage, you look at the promise. That's who I really am.
So instead of introspection...
Yeah, you have to do the recognition, but you don't view it as garbage. It's just part of the old identity, and that's not really you anymore. Whereas in introspection, that's really you. But this is just a holdover of the old one. And the Holy Spirit is revealing it to you. You're not to concentrate on it.
You're not looking for it.
Right.
You're asking Him to show you.
Where do you put your point of concentration? On who you are. On the promise. This is who I am now. Lord, is there anything in my past life that will keep me from experiencing that right now? What's hindering me from experiencing that? Take the fruit of the Spirit. Is there any fruit, area of the fruit of the Spirit you're not experiencing? You ask yourself, if not, why not? Lord, that's mine. I know it's true of me. Now, you just reveal to me the things that are hindering me from being loving, filled with joy, peace, and so on. Instead of getting all condemned over and feeling guilty, you say, if not, why not? Okay, I'm an adequate person. If not, why not? Now, I am adequate. I know I am adequate. The Bible says I'm adequate, but boy, do I feel inadequate. Lord, what keeps me from being adequate? You reveal it to me. Instead of looking in, and what people tend to do, they look inward and say, oh, boy, that's true. Boy, did I punt the football then. Whew! Well, that's right. I'm an inadequate person. They begin to think of the circumstances that reinforce. And so this is a different type. You're focusing with a mindset on who you really are, allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal who you believe yourself to be. Isolating the problem.
You know, it seems like it's... That's one thing. Emotions do come up, but if I go ahead and I just say...
Now, this is an important point, and is this. Okay, what if... Do I keep trying to find something wrong? No. I've had people come in and say, you know, as I check back, especially in this area of my teenage year, there's nothing there. But what? And I said, well, there's nothing there. If the Holy Spirit doesn't bring anything up, go on. Just pray and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you to bring it up. Now, I have prayed, Lord, bring something up, and nothing came up. And I praised the Lord and went on. And it's just a casual thing in my devotional life. But then later in the day, I'll be going along, and something will come to mind. And I thought, why am I thinking of that? So I'm going to hand it, and it'll go back, and I'm like, uh-huh. And I'll put it off and put on. So there are different times, many times, just not when I'm praying, that he'll bring things to mind. And as you get in the habit of putting off, putting on, especially the negative areas of your life, you can whoop them off and be patient. Because we all want to be perfect yesterday. And we're very, very impatient, especially with ourselves. You dummy, why aren't you perfect? And we try to fall into that soulish trap. And we try to make ourselves perfect. And we get wiped out. Just be patient with yourself or with others. And build patience in them. Accept them. Because I've noticed in this, as you start out in an area, it seems to peak out worse to begin with. First week is hellacious. And then it begins to get better. But it's that first week. And that's the very sign that it's working. Because the enemy never likes to give up without a fight. The soul never likes to give up without a struggle. The flesh never just abdicates by default. And you just let it go into the Lord's hands. But don't get discouraged. Just keep trusting the Lord. And it's exciting to see these areas. A lot of people come in, missionaries and others, Christian workers, and they're depressed. And they've been told, well, you're carnal. You just need to be filled with the Spirit. Boy, that is the dumbest thing to tell people in the world. Because they're associating wrongly an emotion. They're suggesting they're not filled with the Spirit. It's a great put-down. And that, again, reinforces the problem rather than deal with the problem. They need to go out and find out why they're depressed. And it might be with something totally unrelated with what they're thinking. There might be some hidden anger of the past, some fear, or something else. Simply needs to be dealt with. You see, symptoms are simply a fruit to reveal the root. And yet we look so often at the symptoms as the root, rather than just simply the fruit.